forever. Dog.
Most likely to die. This week on the podcast, Peter Laurangis's The Yearbook. Hi, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
So, The Yearbook by Peter Laurangis.
So, the beginning of a series that I don't need to read.
It's the beginning of a series?
It seems like it, doesn't it? At the end?
No.
Come on.
I don't think it is at all.
They're going to go. There's going to be a whole story about those other people.
That's not what it is.
The future people.
No.
When I was reading the book,
he just didn't want to write an ending.
When I was reading the book, I was like, because, you know, they jump to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was a jump to the future. So they were like, the year is 2015. And I was like, oh, this book was written. No.
Nay. I do like how that played out. It was like you didn't know.
Right.
When we were with good old Mark.
Yeah.
Marky. I came around to like the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly interesting. It's a little like Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Except more understandable.
Yeah.
It made more sense. At least you like knew what the monster was and how they defeated it ish.
Yeah.
But it's like that in like, oh, kids are dying in the past. And then we see how it's kind of coming back in the future. And then, you know, everybody's like holding hands to defeat it together with their like unshakable bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did feel like that.
Yeah.
Would
you like to read the back of the condol?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read the back of the condol, a.k.a. Goodreads. Okay, so this is going to be another one of those things where
we may as well not even bother.
Well, it's like where the formatting of what is probably the back of the book
is messing things up.
Pity Laura Chase, pretty hair and pretty face. Isn't it a sorry fate? She won't live to graduate. All one sentence, no punctuation. Somebody has a morbid sense of humor at Weatherby High School. The yearbook has been sabotaged and nasty poems have appeared next to some of the students' photographs. David Callis thinks it's a sick joke until his friends start disappearing one by one. And when he finds a dead body, he realizes something far more sinister is going on.
Sometimes I'm so surprised that it's ended because of the way you're delivering.
Yes.
Okay. We're done too.
I was surprised too. It was over.
Accurate. The back of the books have not been too off recently.
No.
Though I'm realizing we've been delving into a lot of either not as well-known
mm-hmm.
books or like kind of bending the concept of the podcast just a tad. And
yeah,
fewer lies happened.
Yeah. This only has like 32 reviews on Goodreads, mm-hmm. which is it's a pretty... it's not a hard to find book because you can get it on Kondo Unlimited and on, I believe,
Open Library.
Okay, so this person, I wonder if we're going to agree with this. Oh, this person hated it.
Mm.
I didn't hate it.
I hated the character.
I hated David.
I thought the book wasn't bad. Yeah, David's such a horny little shit.
I know. He's
an incel waiting to happen.
He for sure is an incel waiting to happen. He also reminds me of... Okay, so I just started watching Evangelion Neon Genesis, which is now available.
Fucking everyone is talking about that. I don't know what it is, and okay. I keep forgetting to look it up.
It is an anime from 1995
mm-hmm.
that basically like re-energized anime as a genre.
Uh-huh.
At the time, it is a kind of a deconstruction of the mecha genre, which is like people being inside big machines and fighting other big scary things. Oh, okay. And I like anime that is kind of a deconstruction of the genre. I like that one. Another one that I've screamed about a lot is Puella Madoka Magica, which is of the magical girl genre, which is like Sailor Moon and those ones.
Oh, okay.
So Neon Genesis is like the story of this kid named Shinji, who has to, this is like so unrelated, just for me to get to this.
Everybody's
dumb,
talking about it on Twitter.
Okay. So basically he has to start fighting these things called angels, which are like basically alien beings that are like coming or that are appearing on Earth that like this kind of shadowy thing in the past called the second impact
mm-hmm.
occurred and caused like a ton of cataclysmic damage to the Earth. And so like people are living in kind of like dystopian futurish, but not really, but kind of. And
or like damage was done and society hasn't completely.
Exactly. It's not
recovered.
Completely wrecked. Yeah. But it is like they're still kind of doing. There's these angels all around. They call them angels. There's, I think, 13 of them. I think in the manga there's.
But they're like bad fewer. Angels.
Yeah, they're bad. They're
angels, not as in good.
So, spoiler like alert, I guess. Yeah. So, spoiler alert, if people want to like fast forward this.
So, spoilers coming.
Spoilers coming. Just skip, now. Skip. Okay. Basically, this being called Adam was launched. So there's this being called Adam and there's this being called Lilith. And they nice. Create other life.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're sent out, they're not supposed to land on the same planet and they create different types of life. So Lilith kind of creates like this slow
feminists.
Birth. Yeah, feminists. This slow birth, like from primordial ooze comes eventually humans. Adams spring out like really instantly technologically advanced beings that are like way more powerful than us. And they all, and those came from like an ancestor race. So the Earth was originally hit with an Adam seed.
Okay.
But it was like dormant. It like got shifted under these like tectonic plates.
Oh, interesting. This,
in the transfer of like a Lilith seed, and I'm doing the best I can to describe this. Anime is a little bit hard for me to follow, so I'm probably a little bit wrong on some of this.
You know what? As we did with the Elizabeth Frankenstein episode, and I believe is just now the general philosophy of the podcast, our audience is too nice to get mad when we get details wrong.
Truly.
Our audience is too good
kind.
And like better than everyone else
mm-hmm.
in that they understand mm-hmm. that we will get details wrong
mm-hmm.
and that they don't have to overly police us.
Yes, exactly.
That's what's so great about our audience.
That's what's so great about you guys.
Yes.
This like Lilith, somehow due to this accident collision,
mm-hmm.
a Lilith seed comes to Earth.
Uh-huh.
So we're like the accident.
Okay.
And then after something happens, I'm not clear what, the Adam seed gets.
Event.
Yeah, some event. The Adam seed awakens and is like, hey, after like,
and they're like
millions
boom,
of
we're
years.
Angels.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
We're angels. Right. And so it's all these like big, like almost like kaiju-ish type of creatures, these like just big, super big, scary things.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like force fields and are really hard to fight. So the only way you can fight them, because you can't shoot things at them, the force fields just, so that you have to fight like basically close quarters fighting. So they're like, well, we need to just make these mechas. So they made these mechas, this company called Nerve, made these mechas.
Nerve.
Yeah, N-E-R-V or Nerve is how they call
Nerve.
It.
Nerve.
Nerve. And
these Nerve suits.
and the suits are called Avas. And they at first they're like, okay, Shinji, this like kid, you have to fight one of them and like you have to it go into the mecha and it like will align with your nervous system and like you, that's how you pilot it. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know why you'd think me, like a teenager, would know how to. Turns out they're imbued with the souls. So like a way that technology is in the future is that like computers oftentimes are like combined with like souls of people so that they work as like an organic soul, so that they can think organically. So those mechas are imbued with the souls of these women that died in the impact. So it's his mom. So that's why like he's picked, because he has to engineer the one with his mom's soul. And like that's the other kids. There's like two other kids. They use the ones that are their mom's souls.
Anyway, it's like that.
So anyway, Shinji. Why was I going to make a comp?
The kaiju type thing being the Pythus is the monster in here. Kids.
I was thinking of Shinji adults, being like, okay. This is what I was going to say.
Okay.
Oh my God. All of that for this. I'm sorry. All of that for this. I was talking so much about Evangelion. I did not know this would be a Kelly screams about anime at Lindsay episode.
Well, that was hardly screaming. It was you trying to remember the plot. Or not remember, but
so in it,
verbalize.
So I'm a little bit conflicted about Evangelion because it does have like almost every character with power is a woman. It definitely passes the Bechdel test. They talk about like war and all this stuff. There are more female characters than male characters.
Uh-huh.
They all have desires and needs. Some of them are sexualized, which is fine. I think women can have sexual desires and whatever. The main character, Shinji.
Oh, incel waiting to happen?
Yeah.
Ah.
And the way they draw, some of the characters are 14 years old and they draw them like pretty sexy. It's kind of gross. And he like just fetish, like obsesses over these women.
Like a certain David we know?
Like David. How David is like, how dare what the fuck her name is exist? Because she's so hot.
So we've got our main character's name is David Callis.
Yes.
He is of Greek descent.
Yes.
This is relevant. I'm not just saying that. He's of Greek descent. We have Ariana. She is of Polish descent. We have Carlo. He is of Italian descent. What if just all of a sudden, for no good reason, I started giving the ancestors my, like, I look up the last names of characters. I was like, okay, so we've got our main girl. Her name is Kalish McIrish, and I looked it up. She's Irish. And like, I thought it had anything to do with the characters.
I think it would be a little while before I said anything. I think I would be like, man, Lindsay's like really into genealogy.
Okay, so I bought an Ancestry.com subscription. I have to justify it somehow. I didn't find anything about my family, so instead I'm just giving you... Okay, so, like, this family's crest reads... Okay, so, like, their particular, this would have been nice if I'd remember the word.
We'll get there.
The plaid of a kilt.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got there, but it was too late.
It's okay.
I just started listing that. It's like, so what's interesting about this family is they started in India, but then they migrated to Hungary. And so that's why their last name is...
Nomadic people.
Yeah. They're a nomadic people. Migratory. Because originally they were... So that's why David is an incel. So anyway, David Callis.
They are teenagers.
He's like, what, 17?
Yeah, but 18? He's a genius.
He's a fucking genius, but also a fucking idiot.
Straight out the gates, he's like, I'm in Mensa.
It makes no sense. He's trying to be both like, I am so great, but I'm also like so humble and self-deprecating. And when in the first chapter, I was like, oh, I might like David. No, that's over real quick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go.
Also, I hated him on 1 hour 42 minutes left in the book. That's what I have in my condol at 4:44 p.m. at 4%. Wow, so many fours.
Just like the book.
When he tries to throw a rock at what he thinks is an animal, I hated him there.
Yeah.
I was like, don't do that.
Why are you doing that? If you were right, you just threw a rock at an animal.
Yeah.
And you suck.
Yeah.
Whatever, David. You faux intellectual.
Yeah.
So how does he say it? So he's like in love with the very beautiful Ariana Mass. Moss?
Moss.
Moss. M-A-A-S. So what's interesting about that last name is blah, 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 joke. Where is the part? Oh, yeah. Chapter one. And we've already gotten like a prologue where we know it's like the end of the world or something. And their clothes are all torn up and crazy shit has happened. Chapter one. I will begin with what I saw on the night of April 15th, but first, a word from your narrator. I, David Callis, am a genius.
Ugh.
Capital G.
Yeah.
This is not a boast. I don't look or talk anything like a genius. My grades are pretty mediocre, and I have a lazy streak from here to Montana. But my test scores confirm it. IQ level, genius. Right up there with hair and eyes, brown, and height, 5'11". So I don't fight it. What does it mean to be a genius? It means teachers always look at you perplexed and disappointed. It means every adult you're in contact with thinks he or she must be doing something wrong. It means you must be doing something wrong because you're exactly like everybody else. For a genius, I did an extremely stupid thing on April 15th. Now let's talk about what bearing him saying all that has on either his character or the plot. Short answer, nothing.
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 In no way does that come to define him.
No.
It's fine if your character is like, doesn't get good grades, but is like, can think on his feet and respond to things well. Why do you have to be like, also, he's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
He's like so smart that like he embarrasses the adults around him.
It has no bearing on anything he does
it
later.
Never None. Comes into play. Never.
Okay, so
it's so strange.
I wanted to update everybody about the last name Moss.
Oh, okay, good.
It is a Dutch and North German patronymic surname from an archaic short form of Thomas.
Oh.
It could also be a toponymic surname derived from the river Moss. The surname is quite common in the Netherlands, ranking 43rd in 2007 with 16,070 people.
Huh. Tomas.
Tomas.
That is interesting.
Yeah, just thought I'd share.
Bit of trivia.
I also hated him in the moment when he said, at that moment, I hated Ariana, hated her for making me want her so much.
That is the definition
of an incel.
Of an incel.
Mm-hmm.
Of a guy who believes in the term friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's like him and Ariana, it's the end of the world. He says, like, I'm writing this in a notebook so that it, like, I have it all down. Blah, blah, blah. Then we cut to the past. He has gone up to this place called The Ramble, which is like on the edge of some woods, aka basically like
makeup point.
And he has taken that way specifically. He's like on his way to a printer's called Someday My Prince Will Come.
Which
I thought that was pretty funny.
I like that.
What a stupid name. And I was like, it's okay, Peter Larangis. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was cute too.
You don't have to rag on your own joke.
He's, what is it? Front porching?
Yeah.
His joke? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Front
porching his joke.
Peter.
Wait,
the main character's name is what? David. Never mind.
Yeah.
Got it confused with Peter. I was like, did he name it Peter after himself? No.
David. So he's on his way there because he works on the yearbook at school, and he joined because of Ariana, because she's the like editor-in-chief of the yearbook. So he's on his way to pick them up because he volunteered, and or on his way to check the copy or check the proof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he decides to take the long way so that he can like fucking peep on Ariana and her boyfriend making out at the Ramble,
because he's like, I'm a masochist, I know. Like,
it's like, Yeah, that's a little more than masochist,
dude. Bro. I don't. Yeah, are you like boning out? Are you like
you are?
Are you humping a bush?
Spying on a woman while she makes out with her boyfriend.
Yeah,
boyfriend.
Yeah, her boyfriend.
You have no claim on her.
Mm-mm.
It's so fucking. And his boyfriend
doesn't suck, right? Because he's nice to everybody.
Yeah, he. I mean, he does turn out to be in the Delphus Club.
The like Illuminati.
Yeah. He does turn out to be in the Illuminati.
Yeah.
But yeah, he seems perfectly. Yeah, I highlighted that same part.
Where you hated her for wanting.
At that moment, I hated Ariana. Hated her for, okay, so he's taking this path. He's watching them make out. Oops, dead body. It's horrifying. It's scary. All super mangled.
It's he, hollow.
Like, passes out. It's so terrifying. And then he wakes up and
goes home and takes a shower.
At that moment, I hated Ariana. Hated her for making me want her so much. That was the reason I had joined the yearbook in the first place. If I hadn't done that, I'd never have gotten stuck with proofreading, never seen the body. I'd always be the same happy but screwed up kid I'd always been. Ugh. Yeah. Shut up, dude. And then it goes to the next chapter because he's talking about the first day he ever saw Ariana. Well, the belt was loosened on a gray and windy afternoon in February, meaning like earthquake. The 7th, to be exact. I was walking home from school the fun way. Fun because Ariana Moss was a half block in front of me. Parentheses, if you could see her body move, you'd know what I mean. Real slow and lazy, like with lots of dot, dot, dot. Well, movement and parentheses. Sounds pathetic, I know, but I was obsessed, okay? Don't tell me you don't know what that feels like. David, you horny little incel motherfucker.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's being gross.
There are so many passages like this.
There were a lot of passages like this. I was a teenager. I leered at guys for sure. And like even now, if I'm like ovulating... like I will stare at a person and there's, have bad thoughts, but
his voice sucks.
That's the thing.
It's one thing to have a crush and lust after someone.
Sure.
It's another to be like, I fucking hated her for making me want her.
Yes.
I was following her home specifically so I could like watch her breasts jiggle.
Yeah.
His language and the tone of how he's speaking is fucking gross.
It is pretty gross. It's very like Porky's.
It is
like, yeah, very like, hey, that's boys, gross. Gather around the hole.
There's this other part after he's joined yearbook. Over the weeks, Ariana began looking at me with respect. Parentheses, I would have preferred lust or even mild carnal interest, but respect was fine. You're so funny. Here's another. He's talking about Mr. DeWart. Yearbook.
The like head of the, he's like the
yearbook advisor.
Yeah. The teacher that overlooks them. And they call him that because he has like growths on his face.
Yeah. His nickname was Wart Face because of his last name and two large moles on his right cheek and left hand. Blah, blah, blah. Describes him. He's like all mismatched and topsiders and goofy,
but he's also only like 20 something, like
25,
but looks old, weird.
Genius and awesome athlete. Okay. He organized some of the crew team members and other achiever types, including Ariana's boyfriend Steven, who they call Smut because of it's an acronym for his full name. It's like Steven.
Steven Marshall Umbridge Tallahassee.
Basically, except for that last one.
Yeah, like
I think. I think the other one.
I don't know if Umbridge is right.
Maybe not.
Because that's like from
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Okay, well.
Calling like bad characters bad man. Like giving them names that were so on point.
On the nose. So they go over to his apartment and he's like describing him between all that, advising the yearbook, teaching history and working towards his PhD at night. He didn't have time for much else. Still, I figured mid-20s, unattached, athletic, smart. He must have had a social life. I half expected some knockout grad student to come jiggling out of the bedroom, or at least a few telltale signs of bachelor life, like a rumpled camisole tossed on the floor or some female-type perfume in the bathroom. No such luck.
Yeah.
Jiggling out of the bedroom.
Doesn't it sound so fucking 80s the way he writes this?
So 80s.
So.
It sucks.
Yeah. I'm trying to see when this book was written.
I hate David.
Let's see here.
Well-constructed book. Hate David.
I'm trying to figure out when was this written. Book details.
I think 95.
Yeah. So too late, I think, to have this voice. I would see this in 83. Yeah.
Well, he's an older guy is the problem.
There you go. He's probably calls women co-eds.
Oh, it's very Animal House. So yes. 70s.
Yes.
His upbringing.
Yes.
Took place in the 70s, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like very Animal House. You want to sneak into a sorority and steal girls' underwear type mentality. So that's why it's gross. It's not that he has a crush. It's not that he wants, you know, to have sex with a girl he likes.
Mm-hmm.
It's using the words jiggling, talking about her like bouncing around.
Mm-hmm. It does seem kind of like gross old man-ish.
Yeah, for sure. It makes him sound ancient.
Yeah.
It makes him sound like a fucking dad in his late 60s.
Yes.
Because that's
being gross. Yeah.
How old would that kid be now? He'd be like,
okay, 95. No,
he'd be like Gen Xer.
Yeah. Wait, so 95, he was what age? Like 17?
Mm-hmm.
So how many years has it been since 95? 2005, that's 10.
20.
2015, that's 20. So 24 plus 17 is 40. 24 plus 17?
Mm-hmm.
41.
That's too young to be talking like this.
Yeah.
Which means it's Peter.
It's Peter.
Not a 17-year-old in 1995.
Yeah.
Or, no, it's not even like an incel on Reddit.
No, because they're much worse. More hateful. They're much worse.
He'd be like outright planning to like
rape slash murder her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just like, you know, leering and gross. So we don't like David.
Yeah, we don't like David.
I liked Ariana.
Who else is there? Oh, I liked pretty much everyone else except for like the bad guys. I liked.
Yeah. And then the bad guys were somewhat interesting, except for Reggie, like saying things like, you dig?
Oh, yeah. That's embarrassing. Also, I liked the cop. I liked the sheriff.
I liked the cop a lot. There weren't any adults going, you kids get out of here.
Yeah. And also,
it wasn't repetitive.
He believed him right away. He was like, something's up.
I liked that it gave him a backstory to justify why he believed him right away.
I liked that.
I thought that was so good. And I liked that he had a personal stake in it.
Yeah, it was his friend.
And I liked that there was a black character who, you know, his whole thing wasn't about being black.
Yeah. He just wanted to figure out the mystery.
Yeah. And he was one of the bad guys.
The cop?
Reggie.
No, Reggie, yes.
Reggie was black.
Yes.
Cop was white.
And the cop was black, too.
No.
Yeah.
No, for sure no.
Are you sure? Because he said that he was nice to me and I thought it was because I was black too.
I didn't think he said that. I thought it was...
Let me look on my Kindle Wannis. Where is it? Kindle, where are you?
Wow, maybe I'm crazy. Because I thought there was some stuff where he was like kind of odd. Chief. Chief Hayes.
Oh, did I return the yearbook? Ding. Oh, no, I didn't.
I have it.
Yes. Yes. Download in entirety.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right. Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
So we've got two black characters. Nothing about their story has to do with them being black.
Well, also, like, I feel like there was, like, a minor thing of, like, him saying, you know, there aren't a lot of black kids in this town and, like...
And in those days, it was like especially difficult.
And he was like, and he was so cool. And I was like kind of a nerd.
He was like a chubby.
Yeah. And then he's talking about when they were kids in the 50s. And he's like, and so when he like wanted to be my friend, I was like, oh, is it just because like we're the only two black kids at this school? And then it turned out like he was just nice to everybody and that was really cool. But yeah, so the sheriff, I like that the sheriff, so let's do a quick plot thing.
Mm-hmm. So we've gotten up until him
spying
the dead body.
Okay, he finds the dead body, passes out, goes home, showers, mom's mad, whatever. Mom's be screaming.
Mama's be screaming.
And then he's like, I got to go to school. Then they're like, guess what? This kid is missing. And he's like, oh.
Oh, that body.
That was the body.
It's like Rick Arnold or somebody.
Yeah, and they're like, he was last seen wearing this color shirt and this color pants. And he's like, that was the body.
Yeah.
So then he's like, I guess he doesn't tell anyone. He's freaking out, running around. He runs into Ariana. She's like, you seem weird. Tell me what's up.
You're acting super weird. I know that you know more than you're acting like.
And he's like, fine. I found a body. And she's like, okay.
Fucking coward. Go tell the police. You're either a coward or you're an idiot.
Yeah. And she's like, and I don't think you're an idiot. So you got to go tell. And he's like, fine, I will. So he goes and tells the sheriff. The sheriff is like, all right, let's go out and find it. And he makes David stay in the car. He goes out to go look at the body. He comes back. He's like, yep. Interesting. And he
remembers that the body seems similar to the other bodies, I think, found.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, yeah.
As the ones in the 50s.
When he was young, he tells David the story about his best friend Reggie, who disappeared. They couldn't find him, and then three more kids went missing. They were all white, but they were all found dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went on this. So Chief Hayes decided to become a cop so that he could investigate Reggie's disappearance,
because
he thought it had something to do with Reggie being black.
Yeah.
So he was looking into like KKK possibilities.
Then, so he's like, okay, so like, I'm going to start investigating this. And David is like, okay.
Cool. Well, you do that. I'm going to go work on your book again.
Yeah, I'm going to work on your book some more.
Because this isn't my job.
So he's like, he goes to, and then my prints will come or whatever. One day my prints will come. The printing store. And he drops off the envelope that, this had been prior, right? Yeah, it was prior because he was supposed to check on it which is how he found the body.
Yeah, he was like,
okay,
all out of it.
So we get like a flashback of like how this all happened, which was that before, they were putting together like the order that everything would get printed for the printer. And the teacher, Mr. DeWart, gave him this envelope and was like, take this to the printer and have him print it. And oh, they were doing a trick thing.
Yeah.
Very silly.
So silly.
Of Mr. Banana Head.
So any student that didn't show up on picture day, as opposed to just like running a blank square, David dressed up like a clown, got his photo taken, and they called him like Mr. Banana Head. And they were going to put the Mr. Banana Head photo in place of all the kids who didn't show up that day.
Yeah. So that photo is supposedly in there.
Yeah.
So he brought the photos to the printer and the printer's like, oh, this is the photo. And he doesn't show him the photo. He just like says, oh, this is the photo that you want me to put for all those kids. And he's like, yeah. And he doesn't double check to make sure that's indeed the photo.
Because he's out of it. He saw a dead body. He's got a lot going on. He wants to hate fuck a woman and then kill her maybe.
Yeah.
And also he saw a dead body.
Yeah.
It's like he has so much on his plate.
A lot on his plate.
His mental plate.
So then he leaves.
The yearbooks get delivered at school.
Uh-oh.
And this is like same day or next day.
This is the day that
him.
The day they announce the kid got murdered.
Right.
This is the day.
Because all the kids at school know.
Yes.
It might be the next day because they all have to go to like grief counseling or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very soon. It's a few days after because all the yearbooks have been printed and they open one up because one kid, Jason, is like, what the fuck is this, dude? And instead of the Banana Head photo, it is a photo of Rick Arnold's nasty mauled corpse.
That has no bones inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's just skin.
And So that is now in place of a bunch of kids' blank photo spaces. And in addition, there are these weird little poems under some of the kids' photos. What are those poems? I am about to tell you. Oh, yeah. So Jason's really mad, and it's because this poem is underneath his. That's not the bookmark. I guess it is. Hang on. So sorry. Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's above Jason's name was a black and white photo of a shrunken human face. It was festooned with dried flesh and blood dripped from its mouth. That's Rick Arnold.
Yuck.
So then they're going through the yearbook looking for others. La, la, la. Sure enough, everywhere Banana Head is supposed to be instead, it's Rick Arnold. And then where Rick Arnold's photo is, he did show up the day of the shoot. So his normal photo is there. However, there's a little thing underneath and it says, which most likely goes to Rick? He isn't smart or cool or quick. He's or careful. So perhaps that's why he's likely most of all to die. Which is very disturbing.
It is very disturbing.
Because he is dead.
He is dead.
And a lot of them are normal, but then the other ones are pity, pity, Laura Chase, pretty hair and pretty face. Isn't it a sorry fate? She won't live to graduate. And then study. Oh, okay. So I remember this one's like limerick. Like study, not burly Bob Heald. Because his passion for football won't yield. So fold him in creases, then cut him to pieces and spread him all over the field.
Whoa. Which
is horrifying. And then the next few dozen were normal until Edward Lyman, whose picture was right before Ariana's. Ed was quiet and antisocial and into motorcycles. And his poem went like this. Ed Lyman hates Ryman. See ya, Ed. Dead. Not the most creative version.
Honestly, the other ones had a lot more effort put in.
Greetings to Janie P. Humans, who fancies TV. Oh, right. Janie Humans' whole thing is that she had plastic surgery to make herself look like the star of a teen soap opera. And then she ended up hating that character.
Yep.
Which is what a bizarre thing for 1995.
So specific and for a teenager. Mm-hmm. I think I'm sure that that has happened.
Uh-huh.
And I think Peter Lane just knew someone who did this.
Maybe.
But it was a 42-year-old woman.
Or maybe he read about it.
I'm sure he read about it in like National Enquirer.
Kids are getting plastic surgery these days.
Yeah.
So greetings to Janie P. Humans, who fancies TV over humans. Okay. The rhyming structure of this is throwing me off. Ask them, Jane, now while you're able, will they wire your casket with cable? LOLOLOL.
The Ask 'em Jane part needs to go.
Yeah. Or at least take out now.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like.
Should be Ask 'em Jane while you're able. Will they wire your casket with cable? What's with the now?
Also, the rhyme scheme there makes me think that there's going to be another two. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just like ends.
Cable.
Will they wire your casket with cable? End. Yeah. So there are all these rhymes and everybody's like, what the fuck? And some kids think it's funny.
Some like it. I was mad at David because he did not even have the thought, these people are dying next. He's just like, that's weird.
He's a fucking idiot.
I was like, are you kidding?
Or he does think it, but he's like, ugh, that sucks.
No, because, and then you know what the weird thing is though? Because they do have a discussion where they find out that like, the Delphi Club is like sacrificing people according to student number. And that's where he's like, oh, those were the people with the poems.
Yeah.
I was like, the poem thing was what you should have been fucking going off of from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he not?
It's just that I was so busy.
All the blood from my brain was in my penis.
Ogling Ariana.
Because I was
Ariana.
Boning out over Ariana.
Like my penis had all the blood.
I just been humping everything I could find thinking about Ariana. Tables, chairs, pillows. Couches.
Cat. Cat.
Micah and I were going for a walk, and it was supposed to be a really short walk, but it ended up being really long, and it was really hot out. We were kind of pissed about it. I was over by my parents' house, and there was just this weird concrete patch that, there was no reason why it should have been there. Like, it seemed like a hangout area, but it was completely unshaded, really uncomfortable. And I was just we were doing just bits about oh, hey, have you heard about the concrete patch? It's a place where you can hang out. And then, so we kept doing these hi, I'm so-and-so. And then Micah just goes, hey, and then doesn't say anything. And he was I couldn't come up with anything. But I was that is such a funny, way to do that. Hey.
And.
So I was kind of pissed at David for being such an idiot.
Way to go, kid genius.
Yeah, he's just too busy.
Boy genius.
Horning out.
When does this genius fucking manifest?
It doesn't happen. See, Lindsay, a teenage boy, when they're going through puberty, they experience a lot of different hormones
that really
make them think crazy things and not really concentrate on the task at hand.
Okay.
Because they're so crazy thinking about bra straps and short shorts.
So distracting.
So distracting.
So distracting. Spaghetti straps. Think spaghetti straps.
Hide them.
Miss Williams, I can't think because Tara's wearing spaghetti straps.
I can't know that a girl is wearing undergarments such as a brassiere.
All the math went to my penis. Help.
I'm so dizzy. My penis is the size of a water balloon. I'm sorry, I meant to say watermelon. Oh, I've embarrassed myself.
Water balloon.
It truly is simply the size of a water balloon. I don't know why.
That was accurate.
Watermelon.
I've given you an accurate picture of how big my penis.
I'm so embarrassed. Oh. It's just it's like a little hot dog bun.
It's so hard. Why they have to be so hot? It's so mean in them. Don't they know they're making me hard?
I hate them for making,
dare they give me an erection.
Making me so
how
hard.
Dare they?
I'm so dizzy because my penis is so full.
I can't even concentrate on this snake creature in the center of the earth. Because Ariana's wearing spaghetti straps today.
Jiggling.
It's so hard. So anyway, David sucks again.
David sucks.
He's not figuring out that Ariana's next based on her student number, is apparently a thing.
Also, okay, so there's an earthquake there. Oh my God. Earthquakes don't happen on the East Coast. So we think. But guess what? Earthquakes do happen in this town.
Because there's a snake.
There's
because
a snake.
There's a Greek snake. Under the earth.
You sound like a racist white lady who's like, not only is he a snake,
he's a Greek snake. We got to get these Greeks out of my, not in my backyard. We're Polish here.
Polish only.
This is an Irish neighborhood in New England. You can tell by
the way
my
I
voice.
Talk.
That's our character, Irish immigrant who is Southern but lives in New England and is racist against
Greek
people.
And has a phobia of snakes.
And has a snake phobia.
So
you can imagine how stressed she is, what with this Greek snake in the ground.
There's a Greek snake. It's huge. A huge Greek snake.
It is.
It's bigger than any boners. It's a huge snake.
Which, David cannot wrap his mind around.
He can't because it's
he's
so
like, big. What? But my boner is so all-encompassing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, David.
No, David.
There are larger phalluses in this world.
And some of
you
them
are
Greek.
About to meet them.
Its name is Delphi. Delphi?
Its name is Pythus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it is, they call it Pythus, but it is the basis for the, myth Delphi.
Yeah. Delphi.
It, because they had singing priests around. Or
yeah.
Was it priestesses?
Yeah. I think it's priestesses of Delphi.
I thought it was a female thing.
So.
But in the book, it ends up being the reanimated corpses of...
Like smart people.
Yes, of smarties.
Like a witch.
I don't know. And geniuses?
Yeah.
I guess it does come into play. Oh, that's where the
genius thing comes into play. Because like, it's like, oh my God, you're a genius.
You're too smart. You're so fucking smart that like, we don't even want to sacrifice you.
Except...
You and Ariana are so smart.
Yeah, except Ariana's like smarter than him.
Which they say. And then they're like, oh, I guess you're pretty smart too because you like connected the dots on this. And that's not smarts. No. That's cheating because he's Greek. And he is more familiar with these cultural touchstones of his culture.
Who told him about that stuff?
You know who?
Mom.
Mom.
Mom did. Guess who gets no credit?
Mom. Guess who dies?
I don't know who.
In 2015.
Oh.
Mom.
Mom.
Gets hit by a bus when she is raising Mark.
Yeah, Marky.
Anyway, I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
You're spoiling twists, I'm Lindsay.
Spoiling.
This very... like easy to follow logical plot that we haven't deviated from at all to talk about anime.
So that's who killed Rick Arnold.
It was the cult.
It was this cult.
Delphi Club.
And here we go again with David being a fucking weenie. Is the only reason he goes to seek out the Delphi Club.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think they're calling it Delphus Club. Delphic.
Delphic.
Delphic Club?
Delphique?
Delphique? Delphique Club?
Club. De Delphique?
You're going to club? Whatever. It's something around that. Something centering around Delphi. So yeah, the only reason he goes, it's not because he's like putting the pieces together about the killings. It's simply because Ariana's boyfriend, Steven, is in the club. And she specifically voices concerns to David that maybe her boyfriend, Steven, is into another girl at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And again, characters' last names are not all Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few Hispanic last names.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another... plus
yeah.
of the diversity column, and it's never about their ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she's concerned because she thinks Steven likes this other girl or is getting close to this other girl. And he's like, great, I'm going to track him down and spy so that I can see if Steven is getting close to this other girl. And then I can go tell Ariana so she'll break up with him and obviously date me instead.
What I do is that the plan backfires because she's like,
yes.
I hate that you did that.
Yeah. She's like, that's why you went and followed them. But what's with the kiss they share beforehand?
Oh,
does
I forgot
he kiss
they kiss
her and she kisses him back?
I think they kiss each other, but I don't remember why.
I think it's just they're so stressed about having seen a dead body.
I'm really stressed. Do you want to kiss?
Yeah. Like, I need comfort.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, oh, right. No, no. Yes, it is because they saw the second body get sucked into a pipe.
He goes to find the Delphic Club and finds like a secret passage to a basement area.
Through a bookcase that like opens.
Yeah.
He hears them singing.
And then there's like a crack in the ground and he goes to the crack and there's like gas.
Uh-huh.
And the gas kind of makes him pass out a little.
And he wakes up and he has salt and pepper hair. And his ankle hurts.
And Ariana's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
And he's like, he doesn't tell her at first. He's like,
so they leave.
Yeah. And he also doesn't tell her why he went there. He's just like, oh, I found out that like there's a club here and they sing and there's like a big hole in the earth.
And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But then they see a foot sticking out of a pipe.
Mm-hmm. And it gets sucked away.
And they get freaked out. And they kiss. And David's like, what a perfect opportunity to tell her that I saw Steven with his arm around that other girl.
Dumb as fuck, do not.
And he tells her. And she's like, that's why you went to find them? And what? You thought you were going to tell me and I was going to be your girlfriend? Look, I've seen you staring at me for months and I let it go. But now you're like trying to sabotage my relationship? Get the fuck away from me.
And she pieces out.
So it's so interesting because then it's like Peter LaRange's sees David's flaws.
Yeah.
But we're in David's head, and so we're still getting this obnoxious chatter.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like the author loves David's point of view.
Right.
Or is it just sort of like, man, I wish she just would have listened to me because I could have made her understand.
Yeah.
Could have made her understand.
I wasn't clear on who was supposed to be in the wrong in that situation.
Exactly.
Is she supposed to be like...
Is she wrong for not listening to him? Or like, does the author think she's wrong for having that reaction?
Exactly.
Or does the author think that David is wrong for trying to enact this incel and end game?
Well, so what was weird was, and I may be reading this with my 2019 goggles, but like, to me it read as she was right.
That's how I interpreted it at first.
But then I was like, so then the issue to me is, does he grow or does he keep acting like that for the rest of the book? Does that moment...
I think he grows. He's never like that again.
Yeah.
And he never starts... He's never ogling her again. He never gets in touch with her for any other reason except for all the snake murders.
Yeah.
All the gas snake murders.
The Greek snakes. So then maybe I'm okay with it. Like, maybe what I would have liked is a moment for him to be like,
yes,
I realized I was being kind
some
of a self shit.
Self-reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like that he was embarrassed or something. But instead he's just like, huh,
yeah,
and then moves on.
So it's not as if Peter Larangis is David.
I don't think so.
But we never get a moment of true,
of
true self-awareness.
Which I just would have appreciated that a little bit.
That would have been nice.
Yeah,
there was never like, yeah, that is why I went there and that was kind of shitty. Like, it wasn't my place. What did I think was going to happen? Or maybe I think he did think, what did I think was going to happen?
I think he is like,
great time to bring it up, dumbass.
Yeah, yeah. I just wish that maybe he...
It's a little ambiguous.
Just a little more.
It's too ambiguous.
Yeah.
And we've been sitting in this person's head for like 50% of the book already. And so I'm already like, fuck you, David.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, she runs off. He goes home. I think that's when... Oh, yeah. He looks by the beginning of the pipe to be like, well, that pipe starts somewhere. Let's go see what's at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. The body's
finds
gone.
The class ring of a girl named Rachel Green
mm-hmm.
from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
She later goes on to leave her husband,
mm-hmm.
her fiance. She moves to New York. She moves in with her high school best friend, Monica, mm-hmm. and meets Monica's new friends.
She also reconnects with Ross.
Yeah, I was about to say reconnects with Monica's brother, Ross.
But then she also has like a kind of a little bit of a weird dalliance like in a couple years, like with this guy, Joey.
Yeah, I want to say like 5 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Which like she's not totally into,
mm-mm.
but like Joey isn't really a David about it, which is nice.
Exactly.
The Joey guy, like, he just, like, loves her, and mm-hmm. he's pretty selfless about it.
And then she has a point where she has to choose, basically. And it's, like, it's such an event. Like, is she going to choose?
But also, does she get pregnant?
Yeah, she's pregnant with...
But, like, for a really long time, we don't know who the father is.
But it for sure is Ross's kid,
but
right?
We didn't find out for a long time,
right.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that was
it wasn't confirmed.
And then what was really weird was that like Ross had a kid and then like just wasn't in his life at all. He had another kid. Yeah. He had a kid and then like that kid was in his life for a second.
As if the author like got bored of writing kid storylines. Because Ross was married before and to a lesbian. She came out as gay.
Yeah.
After the fact.
And like I would say that like that entire friend group is like not great about LGBTQ stuff.
And really unhealthy dynamics.
Really unhealthy dynamics. Honestly.
Particularly their friend Chandler.
Yes.
Lot of gay panic.
Gay panic there, which I just want him to be okay with himself, but he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
And frankly, I kind of think it would be best for all of them to date outside of the group, but they don't.
But
like
they don't.
If they do, it doesn't last for a very long time.
But I get it because like, I mean, already it's very weird that Peter Laurentius inserts Rachel Green's whole adulthood story in the middle of the yearbook.
This book is 700 pages long.
It is excessive, I would say. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Christopher Pike just inserting a story in there.
Yes. This is like the Muse story.
Yeah, and it's sort of also like Stephen King taking a bunch of coke and not being able to stop writing about every tangential character.
Right.
So yeah, it's weird that all of a sudden we're hearing about Rachel Green for like so long.
And Giovanni Ribisi's there for
and Giovanni
a
and the actor Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah, he's there. And also the actor Paul Rudd is there.
And then also like the actor Brad Pitt
is there. It's very strange.
And you're like, okay, what are they doing here though?
Yeah.
And it sort of feel like it's just because Peter Lorange just felt like interest in that part of the story was flagging and he's trying to re-engage the reader.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of
things.
Like,
it's a bit of a stunt.
Yeah. And it kind of feels weird, like by the end, right? Like Rachel and like all of her friends are kind of like almost characters of what they
were. I was
going to
say the same thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like for the first 4 years of Rachel Green's life in New York.
Yeah. It's pretty
believable.
You're
like really into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like fun and the stories are fun and interesting and the jokes are good. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, something happens like season 5-ish. Mm-hmm. You're just like,
Yeah. Something happens.
Yeah. So like 5 years into Rachel Green's life, you're like, and you're also, again, you're just like, Peter, what is happening with that green snake in the center of the earth?
And right, let's get back to the green snake.
So finally, after Rachel Green chooses,
She chooses Ross, right?
She chooses Ross.
She does?
Because she wants to like be with the father of her child.
That's the reason why?
And I also think she never loved Joey the way that Joey loved
her. I don't think she
loved
Joey that way.
And I don't think there was even anything between them. Joey just like realizes he's in love with Rachel.
Yeah.
But like Rachel was never in love with him.
Which kind
he's
of
a really good person and doesn't.
Yeah. And also, I mean, in that part too, right? Doesn't it kind of feel like Peter Laurentius is just like trying to come up with a combo that hasn't
really
happened yet?
Spinning his wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like we've seen everybody else pair up.
Yeah. And again, it's like Peter Laurentius just have them date outside their friend group.
Seriously, please.
Just have them date outside their friend group.
Yeah.
And why is Monica like so annoying now? Monica becomes very
almost
annoying
a villain,
in this,
a villain
in the yearbook.
Yeah, in the yearbook.
At in
the
this book, the yearbook.
At the end of this part of the yearbook,
mm-hmm.
She's really a villain.
Yeah.
And honestly,
also, I feel like when she moves to New York and with her relationships with all her friends, it's never really fully addressed that like her high school boyfriend was killed by an evil Greek snake.
Exactly.
Does that ever come into any of the storylines that Rachel Green's boyfriend is the one who had her class ring?
I might have to reread it to see like if there's any like, you know, subtext there, but I don't think there is.
I'm not sure if I can reread it because honestly, it took me over 7 years to finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just too long.
It's too long.
It's too long.
It's too long.
7 years to read this book.
It should only take you like, honestly, 5 years. 5 years is like probably perfect. 7 years is a bit too much.
Or like what's crazy is it took us 7 years to read this book.
Yeah.
Because that's how much we care about this podcast. But Goodreads says the average is like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm like, how?
How?
How even?
Because honestly, I sat down to read this once a week for like 30 minutes at a time.
And
with
somehow,
breaks, with
yeah,
breaks.
I mean, I read once a week.
Yeah, I read
I
once a week.
I guess that's the problem. And then I wouldn't read like all summer.
Yeah.
Also, what's crazy is when I started reading this, I was 13.
Yeah, me too.
And then next thing I know, I'm 37. I'm doing a podcast. Yeah. And it's like, finally, I'm reviewing this.
I know. Yeah. But here we are. And we've done it.
So yeah, he finds Rachel Green's class ring, thinks that
Rachel Green was the one
who is dead.
No.
Goes to Chief Hayes, tells him about it, then goes to school, finds Rachel Green.
Oopsie.
And he's like, holy shit, I thought you were fucking dead. I found your ring. She's like, oh, thanks for returning it. I guess my boyfriend thought that our class ring exchange meant nothing.
Yeah.
Which reveals that her boyfriend is the one who died.
Did you get a class ring?
I did.
Did you wear it?
It was really ugly. I hated it. I love my mom's class ring. I think my mom's class ring looks dope. It's really? Like very masculine. It's like all silver. It's her little school crest in the center. There's not a jewel.
Mm.
I regret getting the girl
jewel. What color was your jewel?
Blue.
Ours was green.
That was our school color.
What would you do?
Blue and white.
Okay, let's say you're on the dating scene.
Okay.
You start dating a guy.
Right.
Things are getting serious.
Of course.
Because
all men fall in love with me and they want it to be serious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's 4 dates and he's like boyfriend, girlfriend time.
Right.
And he's like, to prove that, I'm going to give you my class ring.
From high school.
From high school.
I'm the age I am now?
Yes. And he gives it to you with like, he's like, and you're like, oh, do I have to wear it? And he's like, you're like, no. He's like, no, 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 not. You don't have to wear it on your hand. I put a chain around it. You can wear it around your neck.
Which is how Rachel Green has her boyfriend's class ring. How long would I wait? Would I go on another date even to try to like what look would I put on my face even? The guy hands me a chain with his class ring on it. Okay,
the date that you guys have just been on is a surfing lesson. So you guys just did a surfing lesson.
I take it.
Yeah.
And I thank him.
Mm-hmm. He's like, put it on. I want to see you wear it.
And I put it on because this sounds like a nightmare scenario. And then a couple days later, I ask if he wants to get coffee.
Okay.
And I show up with it off.
Oh.
And I am holding it and I give it back to him and I say, this was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see us working out.
Oh, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fucking weird.
It is. It's
really weird. That's so weird. Okay. Because it's like in improv. If this, then what?
Yeah.
So it's like, if he is this kind of guy, then what else is waiting behind these other mystery doors of weirdness?
Okay, this is going to be weird, and this might break it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He looks and sounds like David Tennant.
Difficult.
And has the confidence of David Tennant.
What if he is David Tennant?
Okay, he is David Tennant.
Okay, David Tennant.
And he gives you his, like, boarding school class. It's a little different. Let's say he went to high school.
It's basically the same.
Okay. So he gives you, like, a boarding school class ring.
Uh-huh.
And he asks you to wear it on a necklace.
I'd wear the shit out of that shit.
Yeah. See, for the right guy.
I'd wear that.
For David Tennant, we would do it.
Well, because I'd also know what I was getting, though.
Exactly. Okay. But just not a rando guy. Just like 7 out of 10.
It's like 4 dates in. I don't know this person yet. Okay. And that's like very soon.
Okay.
Whereas like David Tennant and I are obviously like soulmates in another life where I'm not with Mike.
Okay. Okay. Like, okay. What about this?
Not this life, but like either the past or the future.
The past or future. Okay. What about?
I couldn't say which because I don't remember.
Right. And we are all existing at all times.
Yes, true.
There is that. Okay, fine.
It's You've just been like dating Kurt for Russell 2 years. Is my platonic soulmate, and we learned it in a dream that I had, but that I'm pretty sure he probably had too.
I think he did too.
I think so.
And I think it'll click for him when he sees you.
Exactly, which is what happened in the dream. We saw each other, and we're like, "Holy shit, my soulmate!"
Oh man!
And then we embraced, and I'd never known such completeness.
That's wonderful.
It was wonderful. So anyway, I miss him.
Okay. It's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to move in.
Uh-huh.
You're like, okay, I'm about to bring over just some like little things first. So you knock on the door. He opens it. And as you walk in, like he puts the necklace on you. Like you walk through the loop of
the necklace. He's just managed that.
Yeah, he put it on you. And he's like, this is my class ring. And then he's like, I graduated with honors at my school. I was part of the Delphi Club. High school is the best time of my life. He just starts telling you all this stuff the day you move in.
I think I would assume he was joking.
Yeah. And then he laughs. And then like he's like, I'm just kidding. Come on inside.
And then I take the necklace off.
You take the necklace off?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And you notice that, like, one of the panels of the wall is, like, kind of off.
Oh, really?
So you push it.
Uh-huh.
And it springs open.
Uh-huh.
And inside is a, like...
Greek you know snake.
It's a Greek snake.
I'm like, oh shit.
No, it's a
just like that book I read, Friends, by Peter
LaRangis. No, it's
weird how that book had a theme song.
Yeah, it's like one of those cards that you open. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you open the condol and it starts playing.
Okay, you know those photos that they make you take where they make everybody in your middle school go outside and like stand, and then a guy on a ladder like takes a huge picture and it's like,
oh, everyone's yeah,
teeny teeny tiny, and it's a uh-huh, panoramic.
Uh-huh.
It's that.
Uh-huh.
It's lining the
panel.
The panel. And it says his
does
high school
it say
year.
Class of 1929 and I am also somehow in the
yeah,
class photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I go, oh, this is right.
Yes.
I go, oh, we're both dead. Turns out we're both dead. I get it.
No, it's from
that's
high
fine.
School
I'll
year.
Wear it then.
You'll wear it. Well, because you're it. A ghost. What could you lose?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, wow, what a crazy world. May as well.
Might as well jump.
When in Rome.
So you say that. You say when in Rome.
I say and then when in like, Rome.
What's that? That's what he says from the other room. He's like, what's that?
And I say, oh, when in Rome.
What's that?
Like the saying. Just like the saying, like, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, yeah, I'll wear your fucking
oh,
class ring, you ghost.
Anchorman. I was like, what is that from where the guy doesn't know the saying? Okay, so you're going to wear his trash ring.
Yeah.
You're both ghosts. And you'll continue to be
ghosts. Because
we're
both ghosts.
Okay. I mean, that tracks.
Yeah. What would you do? Let's say it wasn't that you found out you were ghosts.
Okay.
Let's say it's the first one. We'll do surfing lesson. Or, no. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Two versions.
Okay.
Okay. First version.
Yeah.
Surfing lesson.
Okay.
And then he takes you to dinner at Red Lobster and he asks you to wear his class ring at Red Lobster.
Okay. Is the ring presented to me or in some of the food?
It's just presented to
okay.
you.
I do like Red Lobster. I think that their biscuits are too salty.
Mm.
I don't like the class ring aspect. I think I would be a little bit weirded out. And this is a fourth date still?
Yeah.
I think he'd be taking things to the next level a little too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, fuck. What would I do? I think I would be like... Okay, he hands me the ring and I'd be like, what is this? And he'd be like, it's a class ring. I need you to wear it.
I like how you're really mapping this out.
I'm just trying to get into my character.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is me.
We did this the other day. So we kept quizzing each other like, how would you actually react in this situation?
To something that someone says.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, okay, wait, so you give me the ring.
Okay. Hey, so I feel like we're really like in a good groove.
Nice.
I'd love
me too.
To go out again.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'd love to.
Cool. Well, just to like show you that like I'm really serious about like just exploring what this is.
Oh.
First you should know that like high school was really important to me and I feel like it shaped me as a person.
Oh, yeah. I think I did a little bit more growing after. But that's cool.
Yeah, everybody's different. Like, yeah, I just stayed in touch with my high school friends a little more than my college friends.
Totally.
So
I get
it's
that.
Just, yeah, closer to my heart.
Totally.
So I would just really love, because I believe in like putting like your energy out there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Transparency.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. But also I just like really believe in the symbology of things.
Okay.
I believe like you can.
Oh.
I believe that like your energy puts vibrations into objects and then it like holds that energy for you.
That's cool, man. That's really cool.
So
do you want to get like some corn dogs or something?
Yeah, totally. All right. Before our waitress comes back, I'll just say.
Yeah.
So I have my class ring. I put it on a chain. I would just love for you to. Wear it.
I
or you don't have to wear it.
Yeah, okay.
It's
sure.
just like a fun gift. Almost like, hey, I really like how this is going. Maybe one day you'll want to wear this. But again, don't, you don't have to wear it.
Right. I'm going to have to be honest.
Oh, I see her waitress.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Shyamala.
I'll have a lemonade in the check, please.
I would love, the corn dogs you wanted. We'll have an order of corn dogs. Red Lobster corn dogs. Or shrimp dogs, are they called?
Shrimp dogs.
Corn shrimp? Anyway. Corn shrimp. Whatever version of corn dogs that you would say is the Red Lobster analog. We'll take one of those. And since you're going to be bringing the check and closing us out, I'll just take a Manhattan and a margarita.
Mm.
And then you can close us out. Do you want anything besides the lemonade?
I don't need anything else that's going to take any more time or anything like that.
Okay, well,
I'm really good.
Yeah, I'll just take those. Thank you, Shyamala.
Thank you, Shyamala.
And since I drove, I'll just make sure I drink these really slowly.
You know what?
Yeah, Kelly?
I'm going to have to be really honest with you.
Yeah?
I will never wear this. I will never wear this class ring. If that hurts you, then you need to tend your garden and you might need to step away from me. It's me. I'm not a good person.
I'm really glad that you said this because now I know how slowly you need to go.
Oh.
So I'll take that back.
Yeah. I'll give it back to you. And I'm going to say, let's go even slower and get to a stop. We're going to stop. And
so it's like a four-way stop. We're going to let somebody else go.
No. You know what I'm going to say?
Then we'll go again.
It's like a freeway off-ramp. And you're going to stay on the freeway and I'm going to go away. So what I'm going to do is, how about this?
Right, because then, and I'll keep going my way.
Yes.
But I'll know where you live.
Oh.
And I'll be able to come back.
Sure.
When you're ready.
And you know what?
Because I've on the GPS of my heart, I've put a pin in it.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
That I think we should prepare for anything that might happen. I might move my house. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
You know what? That's the beauty of the age that we're living in because we're friends on Facebook now.
Yeah. So this is what I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're friends on Venmo. I'm going to Venmo you for whatever's going on here with the money. And then I'm just going to walk home.
Oh, I thought this was on you.
You know what?
I thought you said you were grabbing the check.
I have cash. You know what?
No, now I feel bad. I'll take you Venmo your half. Let's do Dutch. I just thought that you, like, because you're a feminist, that you were gonna pick up the check.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I hate women. And I think
what?
I think you should leave me because I hate women. I hate women.
Well, as a male feminist, I cannot be with somebody who hates women because the future is female.
Okay.
I don't know if you'd heard.
Yeah, no, I heard.
The future is female.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm...
And you know who run the world?
Okay.
Girls.
You know,
I can't believe I thought this was going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe it either, but I hate women. Boo. Fuck that. Fuck feminism. I think that men are better at math. And that's why they like sports, because it's intrinsic to their minds that they're better at sports because they are better at math.
Okay. I started filming you as soon as you said you hated women. And I am posting this online and I am tagging you in it.
You know what? Give me that class ring.
I will make sure.
Give me that class ring.
No, you can't have it anymore.
Give me your fucking class ring.
No, it's my class ring.
No.
I don't feel safe right now.
Shyamala. And that's and that audio that I just said is going to be isolated by someone. And they're going to be like, Kelly Nugent hates women.
You know what? Men are better at math. And that's why they like sports.
So this is the thing. Ladies, if you are on a date that's going very poorly and the guy seems like a woke individual.
Yeah, if he seems like the type who wants to white knight.
Yeah. Then just pretend you hate women. And he will be like, I can't be with
because
you.
Because he also can't really argue with you.
Exactly.
Because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's he going to say to you?
Also, what he really, really wants is
then he's not respecting you.
he would really love to be able to post about how he had to end a date because the woman he was with had internalized misogyny.
So really, you're giving him a gift.
You're giving him a gift.
What a gift.
And you should be giving men gifts because they're better than us.
Because it's so hard these days to be a man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have a lot to fear.
Yeah. It's just like, how are they going to mentor?
And also, where are all the Greek snakes?
That's the real question. So there's a
Greek snake.
So like, you've taken 7 years to read about the life story of Rachel Green, and you're like, oh my God, this took 7 years. Yeah. And also, like, she's not even that old still.
Yeah.
So blah, blah, blah. Boyfriend is the one who died. Blah, blah, blah. He tells Ariana over the phone. Then he goes to the library, figures out the whole thing about how the pattern of the Greek snake eating people happens.
It was like 44 years, then 22 years, then it's going to be 11 years.
There's like, it keeps lessening.
And the Delphic Club, they sing. Mm-hmm.
They're singers.
I didn't really get what the singing had to do with it.
The only thing I can... Well, it's just because of like the
myth.
Delphic priestesses or something. That was
it. But in this world, what is it?
They just sing like the priestesses. Kelly.
So wait, so...
You just also, sing because that's what priestesses do.
Also, when they sing, they kind of like they like leave their bodies and like don't know what's happening.
Yeah, because they're Delphic priestesses.
Also, he throws himself into the pit.
Well, first, all right, so he realizes that Ariana's next because her student number is 88 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why they've been choosing the people they're choosing is based on their fucking student numbers in their yearbook. Very strange.
Very
I think this is a arbitrary way to choose people.
But I mean, how Although else do maybe you choose, just, I guess?
They're fine with arbitrary.
You got to pick a way. Pick that way.
Yeah. And you don't want to be shitty and make it like about virginity.
Right.
Because then you're making like judgments, slut shaming.
Honestly.
So
if
as far as ways to pick sacrifices go, pretty neutral.
But you should totally.
Nice and neutral.
Like fuck somebody then if you're afraid that you're going to be sacrificed as a virgin.
Yeah.
It's like way better to not be a virgin in that sense.
Well, but then you'll just die by some other way.
Well, yeah, because
then you'll probably work. End up in a horror movie.
Yes.
Where that kills you.
And then you won't be a final girl.
Really, there's no winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madonna's in horrors.
Mm-hmm. In horrors.
Horrors.
Okay, so then he's like, oh, shit. But
Ariana's
they also
next.
They see the guy's body, like, in the crack in the ground. So David, like, jumps down, and then he gets, like, bumps on him. Turns out they're, like, calcium deposits.
Yeah.
And...
Because the Greek snake... feeds off calcium, and so the snake touches then get some like crazy calcium overload.
Yeah, and the snake is like kind of
but
made
it also
of calcium.
Like is a condition, like it keeps
yeah
you keep
it's like
getting
little
calcium
benign tumors
up.
Of calcium.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Yeah,
so stuff happens, blah blah blah. He and Ariana end up back at the school. It's for sure that the people who have become the priests of Pythus are Reggie, Chief Hayes' friend who disappeared, a witch that got burned, Annabelle, and some dude who was a part of the Underground Railroad to help slaves who escaped from the South.
Mm-hmm.
And something about, because like in doing the underground thing, he encountered the...
Yeah.
He encountered Pythus.
Yeah.
So anyway, now these three corpses are stuck.
Yeah.
Just being priests.
Yeah.
And they're like, one of you we have to sacrifice. The other one will make a priest too.
Yeah.
They were expecting to make David a priest because he's so smart. Then Ariana seems even smarter. And they're like, we'll take either of you now. You have to decide which is going to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
For some reason.
And then they hold hands and then that like hurts the snake.
Yeah, they're like, right? We refuse to choose. For some reason, this is like really upsetting. Somehow so they leave.
They somehow leave.
Covered in more calcium deposits. Somehow Chief Hayes is shown up as well as the janitor.
Oh, yeah. And then they're like, oh, let's get soda pop from the janitor and pour it on the
Because Chief
snake.
Hayes happened to be drinking a Coke and a drop of it fell onto like the like a
tentacle.
No, like some bit of calcium.
Yeah, and it
sediment
sizzled.
Or something. Yeah, and it sizzled. And then we get a call back to Ariana remembering yes. that like teeth disintegrate in Coke.
Yeah.
Which she said she did one time when she realized the Tooth Fairy didn't exist. And then they load up with fucking Coke.
Yep.
And Pepsi mm-hmm. and go back to the thing. And then David and Ariana are like, before we do the whole Coke and Pepsi thing, we're going to go down and see if like the strength of our bond will be enough to fight it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it wasn't. Let's hit him with the Coke. And the thing's like, no. And then somehow the school blows up. How does the school blow up?
I think the thing blows up and they think that they defeated it, but...
But, like, they didn't mean to make the school blow up. It was just supposed to be some Coke.
Yeah.
I could not follow.
Me
also,
either.
This whole time, we're jumping ahead in time into the mind of Ariana and David's future child, Mark.
Yeah.
And we know that they, at some point, like, went back to the crack by
school. To try and defeat it.
To try and... Or to go there... To bide their time so that the calcium didn't keep taking over them.
Oh, yeah, because if they go back, it stops growing.
And so then they were just like cooling their heels, waiting for Mark to figure it out. And yeah. Now that Mark is there, suddenly Chief Hayes and the janitor reappear. Mm-hmm. And then the five of them are going to like clasp hands and they're... shared solidarity will somehow defeat the snake.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the book. We don't see them defeat the snake, which is, oh, fine.
I guess that happens in books.
Sometimes. It's like the series finale of Angel.
Yeah. Although that was on purpose, right? Because like they found out they were getting canceled mid-season. They're like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
This, I don't think Peter Lorraine just... experienced that, but it is similar to the end of Angel, which I'm fine with.
That happens. Yeah, I'm okay with it. But it is strange that he, I don't know, it certainly added like an extra interesting layer to everything that we're like jumping ahead. Oh, and it's like David knows that Mark's going to figure it out because he keeps like having dreams about being Mark.
Yeah. Like as a teen, he's having those dreams.
Yeah. And I think it has something to do with coming across the dead body.
Uh-huh.
But it's never said like, oh, encountering the Greek snake in the ground, you were like connecting with your ancestor.
I didn't get that. I didn't understand.
Or your what's the opposite of ancestor?
Descendant. Yeah.
It's never really said why that happens. No. I don't think.
And then that's the end of the book. It's weird. I hated the book during certain parts, but overall I thought it was fine.
I thought it was not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated the character, I guess.
Yeah. I really just hated David as, yeah, which we covered our hatred of David and otherwise it's like a pretty cool plot.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's had its, the plot details, not the writing of it, is much more like Christopher Pike than a usual point horror.
Yeah.
So yeah, the writing in it isn't as like dangerous.
Yeah.
It's a lot more kind of, it's not really R.L. Stein-ish either, but it is like sort of the generic point horror author voice.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But
it's kind of unique like in that there's cool a male character.
Christopher Pike ideas to it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the book, which is the same case with, I think, I forget which of the other authors, but you get Peter Lorangis's like whole life story.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read any of that?
I didn't read that.
He, for a while, was like a professional actor on Broadway and in touring companies and like did musical theater.
What?
And then later in the early 2000s, went with like, Laura Bush to Russia for some story somebody thing. Let me find that part. So yeah. Interesting.
That is very interesting. Weird.
Yeah. Where is it? Biography of Peter Laurentius. Hope I'm saying his name right this whole time. He sang in an a cappella group at Harvard, and they were called the Crocodildos. Crocodiles. Crocodildos.
Crocodildos?
They were called the Crocodilos.
Crocodildos.
Crocodildos.
They're dildos that have the texture of crocs.
Yeah, exactly.
They have like big holes in them. They're really hard to clean. You should use them.
Crocodilos.
What are
That's
you talking
why
about?
I looked at the what? Word and thought dildo.
Wait, what are you talking about? Crocodillos?
Harvard crocodillos.
This
crocodiles?
What are you saying? Harvard? Why
his a cappella group. Oh. That's what it was called.
I forgot that's what we were talking about. I was like, what?
Like, why are you even saying these words at me, Lindsay?
Oh, cool, man. Harvard crocodildos.
Crocodilos.
Crocodillos.
Crocodillos. Is that a thing?
No, I'm just saying it like
because so often a cappella groups are some sort of like singing pun. Maybe he changed his after a summer. He took a job as a paralegal. Then after a summer job as a singing waiter, he changed his path and became a musical theater actor. He found theatrical work on Broadway, appearing in They're Playing Our Song, and he toured the country in such shows as Cabaret, West Side Story, and Fiddler on the Roof, acting alongside theatrical greats such as Jack Lemmon, John Lithgow,
what?
Jane Powell, John Raitt, and Victor Garber. Met his wife, began writing fiction, wrote under pen names, wrote four series like Hardy Boys and Babysitter's Club.
Peter!
Mm-hmm. And then finally he began writing under his own name with 1994's The Yearbook and Driver's Dead, which is a fantastic title.
Also, I heard it's good.
I would read another Peter Laurentius
book.
Yeah,
me too. Me too.
Then he debuted a series called Watchers, a six novel sci-fi series for, I think, younger readers. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. He has run a marathon, rock climb during an earthquake, gone on stage as a last minute replacement for Broadway legend Alan J. Lerner, and visited Russia as part of a literary delegation that included First Lady Laura Bush.
What? That's nuts. That's nuts.
Boo, Laura Bush.
Yeah, boo, Laura Bush. She sucks.
But sucked. I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't.
Hopefully
he's not a Republican.
Did she die?
No, she's alive. Barbara Bush died.
That's right. Wrong lady. That's all we got to say about this book.
Yeah, so that's the 7-year long yearbook.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. And then next week,
as far as one of these books go,
we have our surprise. Are we announcing what it is, or are we just going to unleash it on the world?
Yeah, let's announce what it is
now. Okay.
So it's our 150th episode.
Yay!
And it's just 3 days before our 3-year anniversary. So it's basically our 3-year anniversary episode.
Happy birthday to us!
Do you want to say what it is?
Yeah. We have a very special episode in which author and historian Grady Hendrix joins us to talk about all things
the genre.
Teen fiction.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Grady Hendrix, as in
my
author
best friend's.
Of My Best Friend's Exorcism and Paperbacks from Hell.
So we were very excited. We tried not to be too geeky about it.
I think we did a pretty good job not being geeky.
We acted very normal.
I think so. He was super nice.
Very nice. Very funny. Very,
very
smart.
Nice,
very knowledgeable.
So knowledgeable.
So knowledgeable.
Yeah. So that's our next episode.
Yay. So that's what we're going to doing next week. So that's our surprise. If you want to support our show, like we said, if we get to 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts, I know.
By August.
Android people.
Look,
Windows phone people.
We get it.
We get it. You feel left out because, you know, all everybody talks about is Apple, blah, blah, blah.
Here's the thing.
Sorry about it.
We are promising, like, 12 additional hours of content.
I think it will
that's
be 10.
Why we're that's why we're offering that.
Yeah. We are offering, I think it is 10, because there are 5 movies.
This is the incentive for you to do a little bit of work. That's why we're offering that. Yeah. We're not trying to put you out.
No.
We're not trying to insult your phone use.
No, not at all.
That's the whole point of an incentive.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, right? Because we were like, you know, we get it. It does suck to have to like...
get on some other platform.
Get on your computer, download iTunes, make an account, and leave a review for us.
If you don't want to do it, that's fine.
Yeah, if you don't want to, that's fine. Here's what I will say. And this will be just coming from Callie Nugent. I'm not even going to say on behalf of Teen...
Opinions are your own.
My opinions are my own. This is not going to be on behalf of Teen Creeps. I'm not even going to speak on behalf of Lindsay. This is just purely me, and I don't care saying this. We put a lot of work into this show. And we love, 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 love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me...
Here... Feel free to jump in if...
Sure.
If, because, like, I think I want to co-sign on what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Just, like, shut up.
Yeah, just, like, shut
up. Like, leave the review, don't leave the review.
Yeah.
That's fine. You'll get the content anyway if enough people leave a review. But, like, don't even come up in here.
Yeah. Into our home.
Like, we're asking so much of you.
Because...
We give you 2 hours of us talking for free.
For free.
For free.
For free.
And we do so much reading. We read,
guys,
a book.
We have
a week.
Literally.
We read a book a week for 3 years and not even
thousands of hours.
Because we do the Patreon.
We do Patreon.
You are going to kill us.
Yeah.
You're giving us a heart attack.
We're getting a heart attack.
We get it.
We get it.
We get it.
It does suck. And as a listener, I think I would feel the same, right? Like, I'd be like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this thing. But at the same time,
I wouldn't. How dare you?
You wouldn't. This is why I say I speak on behalf of Kelly Nugent. I get it. But at the same time, guys, you know, we're
this is the offering.
We are literally always burned out.
We are doing so much work.
And we're also working on some cool secret stuff for our
Patreon.
Show too. I know. We read extra for the Patreon.
And then we're trying to figure out a live show.
We're figuring out a live show. We also have...
Do you like us or do you not like us?
We have really cool secret things that we're working on.
Don't joke at us on the internet.
Don't joke at us ever.
We're too fragile. Don't joke at us.
We're a little dry leaf.
Don't...
On October 1st.
Don't direct your jabs at us on the internet.
We can't handle it.
We're too weak. We're fragile.
That being said, we get it. We get it that everyone's just joking. It's
anyway,
just, we're just trying
all,
to...
All of this is to say it takes a couple extra steps
we
if
get
you
it.
Have
it's
an
kind
Android
of
or something. So feel free to do it or not do it, but that is why we are offering an incentive.
Yeah, because we get it. We know it's annoying. And plus, I think it's just a cool incentive. Those movies look fucking nuts. So what we're going to be doing is...
We're doing it regardless.
Yeah, we're doing it regardless. What we're going to be doing is if we reach 1,000 by August, it is up to you, like Lindsay said. If we reach 1,000 Apple Podcast reviews by August, we will be covering and doing additional to the episodes that are already coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be covering the Lifetime movie versions...
Of the Castile series.
Of the entire Castile series. There's 5 movies. That's crazy. And it's a lot of weird Lifetime shit that's going to be happening. So it's going to be very high drama and we're going to be covering those. And then if we don't reach 1,000, those will go on our Patreon. So people that give to our Patreon will still get it.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you want everybody to be able to enjoy that,
leave
a review.
And with that said, after all of our whining just now, if you want to support the work that we put into this podcast on a weekly basis, you can do that by subscribing on patreon.com/teencreeps where you get even more content that we're doing.
Yeah. And you get some cool goodies and giveaways and stuff too. So that's always fun to get on board with that. If you want to follow our show on social media, we are at Teen Creeps Pod on everything. I am at Kelly Nugie, KellyNugee.
I'm at Lindsay Katai, LindsayKatai.
Wee. All joking aside, thank you to everybody who's already left us a review. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, we've already seen the number.
We've seen it go up.
We really appreciate it. And your guys' reviews are funny.
Yeah, they are very funny.
Very funny.
If you, I don't know why I said if you, I have nothing else.
You know what? Sometimes you just get in a groove of saying the business.
The biz. Yeah.
That you just keep going.
Yeah.
Like a on autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all the business.
Cool.
Look out for that Grady Hendrix episode.
Yeah.
Keep it creepy. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.